Hey guys, so I know it has been a minute, and to be honest with you, seems like everything has been trying to interfere with me getting in this podcast today. But we're not gonna let that happen. From technical difficulties to phone calls to emails to just all kinds of stuff, we're gonna drive on with a mission. So I know we've talked a lot about emergency preparedness and what to do when somebody's trying to hurt you, and hand-to-hand combat, and physical security, and all the pretty stuff. Couple internal life lessons, here and there and everywhere. But today, I want to talk about something that I don't think I've touched on very much on this podcast, and that's financial preparedness. Yeah, that's a section too that we often overlook. Over 85% of Americans in 2021, they don't have $2,000 in their savings account. Now that's just a number. That's not really a moniker for, good to go. I believe you should have at least 1 month of your monthly expenses, and you should know what that is. In your savings account, but we'll get into all that in here in a minute. But yeah, so today's podcast is going to be on financial preparedness, and I know this is like a hot button topic with like Dogecoin and crypto and stuff. We'll talk about all that too. But yeah, I just wanted to give you a little introduction to financial preparedness today. I hope you guys enjoy it. If you do, sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, and we'll be all right back after our word from our sponsor, which is Anchor. So yeah, I think they're the only ones that's willing to pick me up at this point. And that's okay. That's okay. But all right, guys. Yeah, just sit back, grab a cup of coffee. We'll be right back. Thanks. All right, guys, and we are back. So yeah, I got a message one day that I probably need to redo my ad for just revision's sake. And they're probably right. I may get to it, I may not. Anyway. So, we are going to talk about financial preparedness, and the first thing that I want to talk about with that is emergency money. Now, what does that mean? Well, I think that emergency money in an emergency savings account, and we'll talk about the what a savings account is, what it's used for, and why they're horrible for building wealth. But anyway. Emergency money, that's what they're supposed to be for. That is so, like, when the car breaks down, when you lose your job, when the AC goes out, when the water heater goes out, stuff like that. Unless you have that covered under a warranty or whatever, you can pick your poison there on what you're using your emergency money for. You can make your own plans. I don't know your life. That is what it is. I know what mine is, and I roll with that. So, just as a good benchmark, as a ballpark or a little figure, if you will, just something that we can quantify in our brain. I think that at a minimum, when you're getting started, you should have at least 1 month's expenses in your savings account. So that means like all of your bills, your rent, your mortgage, your utilities, your water, your electric, your sewage, whatever your situation is, the expenses that you need to live, right? I think you should keep at least 1 month of that, whatever that number is. I think you should keep at least 1 month of those expenses, down to your groceries. Like, if you can fit it in there, fit it in there. Because anything you fit in there is just going to make your life easier should something, God forbid, happen. Whatever that month number looks like for you, put that in the savings account. Don't touch it. Don't look at it. Don't think about it. It doesn't exist until it needs to. It's not a hopscotch account for your checking. That's not what this is. This is money set back for emergencies, so that when it happens, you won't be caught off guard, or you'll be less stressed, about the situation because you know that you have it. Now, this is not me, you know, browbeating, chest beating, whatever you want to call it. You know, I'm better than blah 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 blah. I'm not. My surplus is not anywhere near as much as some people's at all. Some months we break even. I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, it's not every month, but some months we do break even. But I just wanted to, you know, throw it out there that this is not me speaking down off of a podium. This is me sharing knowledge in this realm and research that I've done. So there's that. 1 month emergency money. Good to go. Done. So before we get into, like, you know, the big stuff, let's talk about a little bit how money works, like taxes, inflation, and what money printing is and stuff like that. So the way money works is this. The value is not in the paper. It's just paper. And they print more every day, which is why savings accounts, as a general rule, unless they are for emergencies, like I previously stated, are absolutely terrible. You will get a 0.015% interest rate on your money when you give it to a bank in a savings account, at best. At best. That's not 15%, folks. That is 0.015 of 1% is what that is. That's not even enough to cover the cost of inflation, which averages about 3 to 4% per year. In 2021, that's probably going to go up, considering the fact that 25% of all bills in circulation, as of this date in 2021, as far as I can tell, were printed last year, for the stimulus checks and other COVID-19 benefits and stuff like that. So all bills in circulation, 25% of all bills in circulation are were printed last year. That means that the inflation rate for the next few years is going to be a little bit more than they were in previous years up to this. So it might look something more like 5 or 6%. I don't know. We'll just have to see it when we get there. But anyway, so anyway, the value, that's a little bit about what money is. So how it works is this. The value is not in the paper. The value is in what you are using the paper to procure the value of. Let me clean that up a little bit. So a carpet cleaner. You have somebody come in and professionally clean your carpet, and you pay them with money. Money that is printed, that is actually worthless, but it has an assumed value in a society. That's the basics of an economy, right? And based on the cost of their things that they need, that carpet cleaner, based on their costs of what they have, and, you know, keeping enough to make a living, is what they charge you in that fiat currency, is what it's commonly called. But the money doesn't actually have any, the paper doesn't have any actual value. There's no, it's not gold, it's not diamonds, it's not silver, it's not backed by anything. It's just faith. We assume this has this much value, and the value is based on us. However much we consider that $100 is worth is how much $100 is going to be worth. We as a whole, as a nation, that is, the market will always correct. So there's that. So moving on to credit use. I hear a lot of people say that credit is terrible, credit is bad, credit is this, credit is that. Have you ever tried to buy a house without any credit? How about a car? There's certain things that you absolutely, positively, 100%, that's just the way of the world, just the way it works, unless you come from money, you absolutely need credit. Now, one of the things that I think is really revolutionary, and this is something that Warren Buffett said, I mean, there's a lot of things about Warren Buffett that just don't apply anymore, especially in relation to the stock market, but he does have a lot of smart ideas. Why would you, use your bank account to pay your bills? Why would you? Warren Buffett says you should use a credit card to pay your bills every month and then pay that credit card off at the end of the month, which will build a credit score of roughly 900 in not very long. Which, I mean, yes, bullet point for bullet point, that works. The meat and potatoes is this. You need to use your credit, but you need to use your credit wisely. It's debt. That's the thing you need to understand. Credit is debt. It's not free money. Just because you have a $500 credit card does not mean you have 500 extra dollars of free money. You have 500 extra dollars of debt. That's what that means. And whether or not you've paid on that credit card will reflect positively or negatively on your credit report. The number that they give to all of us that says whether we are good to go for a home loan, car loan, bank loan, personal loan, business loan, whatever. That's what that number says. And the only way to get that number up is to use the credit system. So I have not personally 100% gone with the Warren Buffett method of using a credit card for everything and just paying it off with your bank account money every month. And there's a lot more positives and negatives to that, like identity theft and stuff like that. So with a bank, if your debit card gets stolen or copied or somebody does something fraudulent on your account, you just lose that money for 6 months to a year, however long it takes them to figure it out. With a credit card, it is replaced in a couple of days, and then they go after the guy that actually did it. That's their investigation, as long as you're paying your bill. So there's pros and cons to both of those things. But so that's how, in a general sense, how money and credit work. So let me take another break real quick, and we'll go into, now that we've talked about, emergency money and making money work, or how money works, we're going to talk about how to make money work and why you should. So sit back, relax. We'll be right back. All right, last round. This is something I've been really excited to get to because it's been about a year process, I'd say, just me dabbling into it and figuring stuff out and making it work for me. So I want to preface this segment on how to make money work for you rather than you just working for money by kind of debunking the old traditional standard of what, most people tend to think when they think about earning income. And this is not a scam or shill or a get rich. I'm not going to tell you have the ability to make 10, 20, $30,000 a month in just 6 months. That's not where I'm going. Those guys are assholes and they're shills. What I will tell you is that Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither will any of these income tactics that I'm going to share with you. They won't be built in a day either. It's going to take consistent, small, consistent work over a long period of time. Another Warren Buffett quote, time in the market beats timing the market every time. So that's actually ties right into what I'm getting at. Our parents' model for financial success, actually now it's more like most of our grandparents' model for financial success, was go get a good paying job at a factory or as a power lineman or as a firefighter, police officer, get a good, stable, quote, stable job and work there for 20 years until you can draw a pension. And that pension is going to be what you're going to live off of for whatever the rest of your life is. There's a problem with that in 2020, 2021, 2022, 3, 4, and 5. Most companies out there don't actually offer a pension anymore that is going to be enough monthly income to satiate a retiree. at a reasonable level. There's just not. Most companies now have gone the way of the 401k shill, which I'll talk about that briefly. A 401k is basically just a savings account with a slightly higher interest rate, depending on what kind of portfolio you're in and who's managing it. 401k, I mean, if you're in a low-risk 401k, which everybody who ever gets a 401k is probably going to go with a low-risk 401k because they don't want to lose money, because you're in the stock market, right? They don't want to lose money, so, and they don't know what they're doing in the stock market, so they throw their money in a 401k, which doesn't garner them 1% a year, much less 7 or 8% in return on making money. So they, at the end of a 20-year career, they might have $25,000 in a 401k, depending on how much they put in. And that's not going to bring you enough, no matter what you do with it, in monthly income to satiate your... You're still going to have to work. So why not put the horse before the cart, as they say, instead of the other way around? In 2021, with the invention of Webull and BlockFi, which is a crypto, basically a crypto savings account, if you guys don't know, Coinbase, which is, you know, obviously the like world's premier crypto trading platform, crypto in and of itself, real estate, the ease of Airbnbs to get into real estate investing properties and making passive monthly income with real estate with, I mean, yeah, it's still going to be a decent upfront cost, but still, everything is much more available now. There is no reason in 2021 why anybody, in my, this is just my opinion, my unprofessional, completely biased opinion. Yeah, I said that on purpose because I'm not a financial advisor. But there's no reason to stick money into a 401k that somebody else gets to manage to make decisions about your life. With the ease of how easy it is, TD Ameritrade, Robinhood, just public. I mean, there's so many real retail stock market trading platforms that are feeless now, that you don't need a 401k. You can do it yourself from your phone. And you can make 7-8% a year back. I mean, and build the account slowly over time. And just to show you, I've got skin in the game. I've got a Webull account, and I am working on dividend income in that Webull account. Trying to get up to, you know, my first goal is $1,000 a month in dividends. That's where I'm at right now with my goal setting. But that's just investing. Like, let's talk about real estate for a minute. Like, so there is an app called Airbnb, and this is a new way to jump into real estate without actually having to buy and sell properties or, you know, rent them out on a monthly basis and be responsible for, you know, all kinds of stupidness. So there is this company called Airbnb, and what you can do is you can go purchase a property, and then you can fix it up and list it on Airbnb, and people who are coming through your town, your city, your area, looking for a place to stay when concerts are booked, sporting events are booked, you know, hotels everywhere are booked. They can get on Airbnb and they can find your property and you can rent them on a daily rate. And there's just, you know, the amenities are what they are. I mean, it's super, super cool. And there's people making $5,000-$7,000 a month on Airbnb passively. I mean, to the point that everything is automated. Like, dude had, one dude I saw had a fourplex, just in the middle of town, little one bedroom fourplex, and he had electronic keypads that were somehow linked to the customer, when they arrived, he linked them to their phone number, and that was the only passcode to get in that room. I mean, so he didn't have to be there to let these people in. He can just activate their key code on their phone number, and they can get in on their own, and all they have to do is pay him. Like, it was pretty slick the way it was set up. Now, I am not a real estate mogul. I am not into real estate in that avenue. I am into a couple of dividend paying REITs, but that is a whole nother aspect of real estate investing. But Airbnb is one thing, and this is I'm setting up to prove to you that there is so many other options out there to attract income that you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket, as they say, and depend on whatever company you're working for's pension plan or 401k to satiate you in retirement, because I'm promising you right now, May 12th, 2021, it won't. It won't. You will be working until you die if you do that. So I mean, to move on, let's talk about some crypto, right? So everybody's talked about Dogecoin, right? How it was at 0.0018 cents, a few months ago, and now it's up to almost a dollar. And will it go to two? And I just heard it all, heard it all. I am not in Dogecoin. I was, and thought I was doing great. I got in at 25 cents a share, and I sold at 40, and then it went to 55, and then it went to 65, and then it went to 75, and then it went to 85, and I did not buy back in. So, that's what that was for me. Anyway, talking about crypto, one of my favorite things to do. I've been in crypto since 2015. And it's been interesting. So Coinbase has this cool little earning feature now where you can like watch videos and earn like different cryptocurrencies and stuff. I mean, it's never more than, $2 or $3 at a time, but I mean, you add that up over time and you might get $100. I don't know. But Coinbase is like the staple platform for all of this. It's like the flagship on where all this started. But talking about crypto, there is ways to safely-ish use crypto. Yeah, it's still a random fiat currency. I get it, but so is the American dollar. I mean, it's got a lot of nuances and idiosyncrasies that are involved in crypto that you need to research on your own. I'm not going to sit here and profess to be a crypto mogul either. I know enough to be dangerous, and I go with the things that make sense to me. But and if you want to, email me or talk offline about that, I'd be glad to. But one of my favorite things to do with crypto is a little app called BlockFi. So if you guys are familiar with Coinbase, and they're not paying me to say this, no app or anything that I've mentioned on this podcast today is paying me to say this. I'm saying it because I've used them. So with BlockFi, I'm sorry, with Coinbase, for a certain digital currencies, you will get roughly a 1 to 4 percent APY in the currency. That's annual percentage per year. In the currency. Now, with BlockFi, they're kind of changing the game a little bit. I kind of see them as a savings account for crypto with an actual honest to God, decent interest rate. For instance, USDC right now in BlockFi is giving you an 8.6% return on your money annually. And they pay it out every month. So they break it up on what that denomination would be annually, and they give that back to you, that break it up in monthly sections and give that back to you every month. For me, an 8.6 return on my money over a year, I'll take it. I'll take it. I will take it all day long. And I think Bitcoin up to a certain, like up to $20,000 is 6%, which is crazy money. So it's but that's keep in mind, that's in the actual digital currency. So what you would have to do, like if you convert, US dollars into USDC, which is literally the digital currency of the US dollar, you would have to convert that back into US dollars by having them pay it out in a bank account. So if that's something that you wanted to do. But really I'm playing around with it and trying to grow some money with it, and it seems to be working out pretty well. I'm actually very, very pleased. I mean, like I said, 8.6% on the year of, under $20,000. I mean, that's stupid money. I mean, that's $800 on 10 grand. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. But anyway, but yeah, crypto is a new, it's, and that's the thing. Crypto is still so new that, we don't have any data to know what it's going to be in 25, 30 years. We don't know. I mean, there's quote experts that say crypto is going to be dead in 5 years, and I don't believe that for a minute, because there's just too much call for it right now. But who knows? I mean, it could be dead in five. It could be, our children's currency. Who knows? Like, who knows? But yeah, so just to encapsulate, go back through the bullet points real quick, just to summarize what we've been talking about today, folks. Financial preparedness, we need to start with emergency money. That's a savings account with at least enough for a month of expenses starting out. My goal is to get to about 6 months. We'll work on that. But we'll see how that happens. Yeah, so a savings account with at least enough for a month of expenses, total living expenses. And we talked about how money worked, taxes, inflation, money printing, where the value is in the actual paper. It's not in the paper itself, that kind of thing. We talked about credit use, how it is debt and it's not free money. There is a way to use credit positively, but most people just see it as free money, and that's how they get in trouble. And then lastly, we talked about making money work for you instead of you just working for money, and how to do that with, stock investing, real estate, and crypto. So, if you liked this podcast, if you liked the information you found in this episode today, or you would like to, for me to expand on some of the things that we touched on today, let me know. Hit me up on the old Facebooks or the Instagrams, or shoot me an email or leave me a voice message on here. I am about all of them, so I welcome all feedback. So also, lastly, if you've made it this far, I did want to tell you that Presidium Edge and Common Sense Defense now have a store. That's right, folks. We have a Redbubble store. It's redbubble.com. I will try to leave the link in the description for the store, and specifically some items pertaining to Common Sense Defense if you like the podcast. So you can pick up some Common Sense Defense swag. But yeah, just a little, just dropping some things that I'm trying to do. See, diversifying income, right? No. But yeah, so we have a Redbubble store, and I will drop the link in the description. Y'all go check it out. If you want to become a supporter, as always, we welcome that. I appreciate everything you do for us. But yeah, I think with that, this is Justin Presidium Edge. Hope you enjoyed the podcast today. If you'd like me to expand on anything, give me a shout out. Let me know. All right, guys, thanks for listening. See you down the road.